Hello and welcome to the fourth ever Plebs on Footy podcast. Today I'm joined by, as always, Scott Fotheringham.
What a shocking week of footy, mate.
I'm surprised
you're
still here.
Could not have been any worse, mate.
Certainly not for you.
There were only three good things that came out of this week of footy. Ben Kennedy was the only positive for Melbourne.
He was alright.
Nathan Fyfe was good. And I won $20 on a bet I had that Essendon would win one game this year. And I still haven't even got my $20 because he's paying me in 10 weekly payments of $2.
Yeah, he's not a...
What a shocking week, mate.
Bit of a dick.
Don't want to be here. Do not want to talk about footy this week.
We're also joined by producer Liam.
How about them Roos, Roy?
Oh, we were...
That just made it worse. Made it even worse this week.
We weren't particularly good, but we'll get there. It was a very interesting week of footy.
It was.
Full of upsets. I think I got about 4 tips right.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of those was me tipping an upset. So
yeah, there's basically no trends you can really decipher in the first 2 weeks, or very little anyway.
No,
there's still a lot we're trying to figure out.
I think I saw a trend map that makes Gold Coast premiers. Gold Coast beat Essendon, who beat Melbourne, who beat GWS, who beat Geelong, who beat Hawthorn.
Yeah.
Gold Coast premiers.
Yeah, well, Melbourne beat GWS, who beat Geelong, who beat Hawthorn, so geez.
Yeah, but then you lost. You've got to take it to the full extent of the chain.
Yeah, it's all right, mate. All right.
Yeah, there was also a bit of controversy at the Friday night game.
Yeah.
Don't really want to go into it, but just appalling. Footy should be about footy, not much else.
I do support the opinion that footy's a place to escape from a lot of that stuff. It's getting a little bit too political, but...
Yeah, like, I was there watching the footy, and then when I came home, I saw that photo, and I don't want to have to think about racists at a footy game.
Exactly. There's too much of it these days.
Let's get to the footy.
Yep.
The first game, Friday night.
Oh, wasn't that funny?
It was an interesting game. Collingwood 13-9-87 defeated Richmond 12-14-86.
Yep.
What a cracker of a game.
Absolute shocker.
It was a shocker of a game.
It was an absolute shocker. I was going to say 3.5 quarters. It was even more than that. It was a terrible game.
And it was,
footy.
What, 4 minutes of good footy?
It was four very... Well,
and it wasn't
good
footy. It was 4 minutes of a collapse.
Exactly. It was pretty funny, though.
Oh, we had a Collingwood mate sitting with us who, 10 minutes to go, says, "I'm off to the tab."
Storms off, catches the end of it downstairs, comes back, happy as ever.
And rubs it in with the Richmond supporting people we were sitting with.
Yeah.
Which I appreciated. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. But look, what can you take out of the game? I reckon both teams not looking impressive so far. That is one trend you can decipher.
Like, both of them had some pretty big outside bottom, Marich, Delidio. But
you'd have to give Richmond more of a
absolutely
based on injuries,
because I don't think Swan will be back the year, unfortunately.
Yeah, probably ever.
But
possibly at least.
Remind me. But yeah, it's just a terrible game. I don't think either team are looking likely for finals at this point, the way they're playing.
Yeah, look, you're right. I can't accept the fact that Collingwood are as bad as they have played. I mean, it was robbery on the weekend.
Oh, yeah, they shouldn't have won.
Game. No way, absolutely.
But to be fair to Richmond, the way they've played, they shouldn't be 2-0. So.
Doesn't seem fair
either result.
But I think Richmond, you still got to give a bit of time for injuries. It's weird how important Delidio is. I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's like...
If it's psychological, I don't know.
Yeah, the way he plays doesn't seem like he's one of those guys that'll lift you, put the team on their back. And like, he's a very classy outside player. Okay in the clinches, but he's not like... He's not a Luke Hodge... Win the crucial contest or anything
just
like that.
Gives them belief, I suppose. Just that ball use. I don't know. It's strange.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. Treloar was very good. Continuing to carry their midfield at the moment.
I love Treloar. We shouldn't even be surprised. He's just
a very good player.
We just knew what he'd do.
Well, given what they gave up for him, he had to produce like this, and he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's interesting that they're putting Pendlebury at halfback. How do you think that's going?
Well, he had probably 2 quarters when he was by so far the best player on the ground. The first quarter, he was unbelievable. And then he did go missing in patches, which isn't a Pendlebury thing to do.
Mm.
I suppose that is if he was off halfback.
Yeah, he's not always in the contest.
Happen. Exactly. G uses it well back there, though.
That's the thing. They've got so few actual good users of the football coming out of defence. They kind of need him there.
Yeah.
But it's robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah. Well, yeah, same thing happened with Melbourne, really, starting Jones off half back.
Yeah,
he did it well for
a
quarter, but I mean, he's an inside midfielder.
It's more of a
change up.
It's like when you send 5-4.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a added string to your bow that you can use to surprise the opposition, but it shouldn't be your go-to.
Change
move.
The structure slightly just to change things up a bit. But yeah, I can't accept that Collingwood are as bad as they've been playing. I think something will click eventually. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I think Brody Grundy needs to perform better in the ruck.
Yeah, he was really poor.
He was
really
absolutely pants by Sean Hampson, who is a second or third rate ruckman.
A poor ruckman.
Who got pants by Andrew Phillips the week before. That's
yeah, I mean, he's very talented,
start.
Grundy. There's a lot to
He's around the ground stuff, I think, is pretty good. I really like him. He's pretty hard.
Yeah.
He's pretty skillful.
Yeah.
But, geez, he must have had a little niggle or something. He just couldn't get off the ground.
Yeah. He's never been an outstanding tackler.
No.
Though, has he? Well, he was the hero, though.
He was the hero. You've got to give him that. It felt...
That was the biggest part.
Next
week,
yeah. That was the biggest part of the robbery, though. Brody Grundy kicked the winning goal.
Yeah, exactly. That was another thing Alex found pretty funny.
Oh, he was just a shocker. Anyway, on to the second game of the week. Essendon, 11-14, 80, defeats Melbourne, 10-7,
67. Don't even, man.
Have at it, Scott.
Oh, where to start? Look, the first thing that has to be said is Essendon were much more impressive than what we expected. That is the first thing that has to be said.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm thinking 4 or 5 wins this year. If you look at it's not great, their team right now. It's not great, but they still have some good players around. I mean, Goddard's a great player. Zaharakis is absolutely killing it. Danaher, obviously, I mean, he was painful on the weekend. The Raiders Danaher. but even they're experienced players. Yeah, they're a little bit over the hill, but they're proud players. The Stokes was great in round one. Was McDonald, what's his name? Tipawunji or whatever?
Tipawunji. Tipungwuti, I think.
Whatever it is. He was outstanding. I don't really know his background. He seemed like he knew footy.
I love his hair.
Yeah, he wasn't one of those players that just seemed like a natural athlete who gets around off that. He actually seemed like he understood the game, moved well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really impressive. And look, they've got some good kids around there, I have to admit. Parrish is going well.
You didn't think that'd... You thought he was a bit flaky.
I was right about Aish. I believe he's
just
awful.
So skinny.
He's skinny and he's soft.
Yeah.
I think he's awful. But look, Parrish is looking good. And look, they switched the ball well. They've got a good coach.
Mm.
They ran hard. And they just outworked Melbourne. We just thought we'd rock up and it wouldn't matter. The one thing that has to be said about Melbourne, our back line was completely lost. I mean, where is Lyndon Dunn? We needed some leadership. I've never seen Colin Gull and Tom McDonald that poor. They just got worked under the ball, misread it in the air. Danaher is a talented player, but he should not be that good, especially with his body size at the moment. He absolutely killed them.
Yeah, you had no one impeding his run at all
goals.
At a marking contest.
No body contact. They just couldn't.
And he's so tall that he's got good enough hands that if he gets there, he's
going
to take the mark.
Yeah, thank God he can't kick straight. But look, Essendon were the better team for 4 quarters. Clearly, if you were a neutral supporter going to that game, you'd leave it thinking, "Oh, Essendon are the better team." If you knew nothing about
it
beforehand,
that smashed you
you'd think
inside
Essendon 50s, definitely a better team.
Contested ball, uncontested ball.
Yeah. It hurts, man. It hurts.
Yeah.
It was hell.
You did say if you'd lose this game, you'd kill yourself, so I'm glad to see you're still winning.
I got close, mate. I got close.
You came home and I was afraid if I said anything, you'd hit me. I was worried there might be some domestic abuse.
Can I start ripping into Jesse Hogan yet?
We're saving that. We've designated a segment.
No, I really
for
want to rip into Jesse.
We've saved the segment for it.
I know everyone's had a go at him, but it's my turn.
We're waiting to the end.
All right.
I did misspeak. The second game of the weekend was the showdown. That started first, so we probably should get to it.
Oh, no, that wasn't good either. Not again.
I wasn't right about a whole heap this weekend, so I'm going to
rebel
in this.
I beat you on Collingwood.
Oh, I refuse to take a 1-point
loss. Oh, no, mate. I knew that would happen.
Where it's highway robbery. They came from 3 goals down
as a bad
prediction.
No, it was a great tip, mate. It was a great tip. You know I knew it. At what stage of the game did you realise that I'd beaten you on that one?
Probably
it must have been pretty early.
Midway through the second quarter, I think.
Yeah, exactly right. We all saw it coming. It was a great tip.
Just the way Collingwood were moving the ball.
One
yeah. So let's get to the showdown. I thought it was a very interesting game. It was 22-12-144 Adelaide defeating Port 11-20-86, and I think that scoreline kind of puts Port in a pretty bright light compared to what they should have been.
It seems like it. The only other argument you can make is that they had 31 scoring shots, but I realise that a lot of that was in junk time. But
Adelaide had iced the game 10 minutes into the second quarter when they were 10 goals
up. Yep.
Adelaide's forward line is just immense.
They just killed it.
It's unbelievable. Port dominated the inside 50s.
They
had about 70 to Adelaide's 55 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
And Adelaide looked like they were going to score every time, which they pretty much did. And
yes.
Port looked like they were just hacking it forward.
Yeah, there was a classic Eddie Betts, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that first goal of the game.
The AFL website, Eddie Betts loves a big stage, and the goal was he gets a handball and runs into open goal. Typical Eddie Betts.
You got to know where to run, Scott. But I think Adelaide's forward line is going to keep them in a lot of games.
Yeah, it's a very even forward line.
Oh, absolutely. They've got, it's very high quality across the board.
Yeah.
If you, like, teams that have very good backmen as, like, the first and second option, but sort of falls away, are going to really struggle. Because if you man up on Walker and you send someone to Betts, you've still got Jenkins, Lynch, and a whole heap of them still to contend with.
Yeah.
And I think even if Adelaide's midfield isn't on top, they're still going to keep in the game because they capitalise on everything that's given.
They're also all very different players, aren't they?
Lynch
is very lead-up forward. Jenkins isn't a big man, but he's probably more stay-at-home, probably.
Oh, he's pretty
less
big.
So. He's tall.
Oh, you say you don't mean
he's not like
a Tom Hawkins kind of guy.
Unlike Taylor Walker, he's a big man, a big imposing person, and small, obviously, Betts. Everyone's different. It's very hard to match up on them.
Yeah, and just, they've got so many options that, as I said, if the midfield, which took the hit with Dangerfield leaving, it doesn't have to be as good when that forward line performs like it does.
Yeah, I mean, the game's still won and lost in the midfield, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fair enough. I'm worried about Port Adelaide.
Yeah. This is the biggest... Oh, probably not the biggest story of the round, but it's one of them. They've got two major flaws. Lobby really puts a ceiling on their midfield. He's just terrible.
He was good for a year.
He was good at tackling for a year.
Yeah, that's fair.
His tap rucking has never been any good. And the importance of it, I think, is understated by a lot of analysts.
We talk about it
every single week. We're very focused on it. Your brother's a ruckman.
Oh.
I play junior footy as a ruckman. I'm very self-important. I think...
we were saying before, how many players are there in the AFL who you can genuinely make an argument that the ruckman is the most important player in the team? There are a lot.
There's Goldstein, Mumford, Nat Nui.
Yep.
Gorn's right up there for Melbourne. He's not the most important.
He was bad this week, but yeah.
there's just a bucket load. Sandy
is. He is.
And that's probably it. But that's still a lot for one position where there's one or maybe two of them.
Exactly
in the team.
Very important thing, right? But yeah, Lobie. That's
not
fair.
Good at it.
Yeah.
And Jacobs, after he bounced back well this week. Moved well around the ground and really controlled things in the midfield for them. He's a very good ruckman.
Yeah.
The other thing is their defence is not accountable at all.
Yeah.
Like
the concern with Port Adelaide is, did they create a game style that's unsustainable over a long period of time? Like it relied so heavily on just the absolute manic effort from their team. Can you do that for longer than a season? And the interesting thing about it is I feel like the Western Bulldogs sort of exploded in a similar sort of way in that they ran so hard and they did it for a year. That right at this point in time, they seem like they are sustaining it, but Port
I think Port and the Western Bulldogs played a similar pace, but I think the Western Bulldogs have a really strong defence and they're really quick defence, whereas Port have a quick defence, but they turn it over a lot.
Yeah.
And they're also, as I said, not very accountable. Like, St Kilda got so many goals over the back of them. Adelaide did the exact same thing.
They opened themselves up.
They've just got to switch on.
Yeah.
Like, there's heaps of footage of a mark being taken by an Adelaide player and Port players just not reacting to it at all, and by the time they do wake up, the ball's moved on and they've got to go again.
Well, yeah, the argument you can make is they run so hard forward and they're an aggressive team who try to score.
Hmm.
That's why they end up leaving their players. But
yeah, but I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, it was a game plan that worked for a year. Can you sustain it? At the moment, it appears not.
Yeah, I think they've been found out to a certain extent. Because I think a lot of the competition last year, I think a lot of it was injuries. It wasn't just the game plan that cost them last year.
Mm.
But at the moment,
yeah,
I think when people are playing at as fast a pace as Port like to play at, it means your defensive frailties get found out more often because there's more chances for it to happen. And when you get higher quality opportunities, you're really made to pay for them.
Yeah.
And I think Port are getting found out because of that.
Yeah. You'd say probably Pittar is probably the player that sums it up.
Yeah.
He's not very accountable at all. He can kick really, really well, and he can be a very, very good aggressive player, but he will have some absolute shanks, won't he? And that pretty much sums it up. So, yeah, there's a bit of a concern about Adelaide. I was big on him early. I'm starting to waver. I haven't given up, but I'm starting to waver.
Oh, I never rated them.
Oh, can we skip this next game?
No, it's the most predictable game of the week.
Yeah, this
Brisbane
is boring,
Lions,
actually.
11-17.
It's a bit of a
gold
jacket, green jacket game. No one really cares what happens here.
Brisbane Lions, 11-17-83, lost to North Melbourne, 17-15, 1-17.
Yes.
It was pretty much how everyone expected it to go.
Oh, Brisbane missed a lot of chances early.
Yeah, we had the game on ice 10 minutes into the third quarter. Even if
but you could have been further down.
Yeah, but if they had to capitalise them, we would have ran them over 20 minutes into the second quarter. We took our foot off the gas and the game was still
there. Righto, righto. They went with you for a half.
No,
which
not a half. Quarter and a half.
Yeah, okay.
21 points.
Still, they were with you for it. They actually outplayed.
No, they were very.
Not many people.
They were very impressed. They outplayed us in the first quarter and the start of the second. They were very, very good to watch, to be honest.
Mm.
Their ball movement by hand out of the back line is really exciting. Their mosquito fleet is lightning quick.
Yeah.
They're really good to watch. They don't win quite enough contested ball, but I think that's as much due to injuries as anything else at the moment.
Yeah.
And defensively, they've got a bit of the ports. They let in too many easy goals.
Yeah.
Like, when they had a sustained run of about 6 scoring shots in a row, which they missed every single one, we got one easy out of the back straight away. And it completely...
That always happens, though.
It completely ruins your good work, though.
Yeah,
it's an element of capitalising on your opportunities,
yes,
but also you've got to be able to clamp down and not let that happen.
Yeah.
Because it was a defensive breakdown. It wasn't North Melbourne did something particularly good.
Yeah, okay. Okay, a lot of the time you do. That happens a lot. You attack, you're a bit tired from missing a lot, and then you've got space out the back, and it's a much easier goal because they have more open.
That's true.
Down the other end.
An alarming percentage of our goals were...
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with you. They don't have any keys. That's Brisbane's problem.
Yeah, and Daniel Merritt is the clumsiest man alive. He gave away 3 free kicks in forward 50 in the first quarter.
Okay. I'm not surprised. I didn't
Big
watch
source,
it. I'm not surprised.
Yes. Oh, he's clubber-lang.
Yeah.
Jared Waite's on fire, though.
Yeah.
He's been our best player across the first 2 games, I feel. And he's just missed the potential at 32, living up to it.
I've heard a few people say that he never plays against important teams. He never rocks up on the big occasion.
That's
what would you say about that?
It's an absolute crock.
I was feeding you that one. Here he goes.
He kicked 3 and was best on against Adelaide, who proved they're a good... Oh, maybe proved they're a good team this week. He was probably our best player in the first 2 finals last year. He was Carlton's best player before he came to us in finals against Richmond.
Mm, yeah.
I don't
understand why he's so good in finals.
Yeah,
but
it's weird. Like, he's got a reputation
It's been enough now that you can say that.
Yeah, he's got a reputation for being flaky, and yet he actually stands up in important
games.
When
the pressure's on, I don't get
contradictory.
It, but you're right. Yeah.
Anyway, Daniel Wells being back's great. Jacobs can still tag, and... Yeah.
Was he on Rockliff?
On Rich. Rockliff just had a flat-out stinker.
Mm.
He's apparently hurt his calf. He went in for a scan. There's no tear, and they're not going to play him, apparently. And apparently they've done the same PR skit.
Not good for the treat.
They've done the same PR skit for Rich as well. Put him in for scans. Nothing came up. But, ooh, he's 50-50. No, they just had shockers.
Yeah.
Go away, Brisbane. But, yeah, on to the next one. St Kilda, 5-6-36, lost to the Western Bulldogs, 13-15-93.
You have to say, of
we said there weren't many trends that we've found over the first couple of weeks, but you got to say, the Doggies are starting to look like...
Who have the Dogs played? Frio and St Kilda? What have Frio done?
I had some hope about St Kilda last week, I don't know.
You thought it might be a bit of a good game.
We'll
and
get to Frio.
I wanted it to be a good game. Rewald's 300.
Yeah, I thought there'd be a little bit of energy there for that.
Western Bulldogs just showed them up. It's really ominous signs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, it seems like it is going to last. They've got a lot... They're still... I can't see them being top four contending for a premiership. I still think
they absolutely can.
They don't have the experience, man.
At the moment, I'd say the two teams I... another huge back...
Swannies? Is he going Swannies?
He's going Swannies.
Hey.
Swannies and Hawks.
That's a win for Fotheringham.
That's a win for Fotheringham. I'd say they're the two biggest locks for a top four spot. Then I'd put the Dogs in the next year.
I can't be certain that they're going to be consistent enough to win enough games top four.
That's true.
And in finals, I can see them falling over. It's not the experience. And they got some good kids. And they're going to be good in 5 years.
They just keep unearthing players. Like Biggs had another great game. Still don't know who he is. Johannesson's turning into a legitimate jet.
Yeah, very, very.
He's lightning quick, skillful, and hard enough at it to just be a huge asset.
Lockie Hunter possibly to turn the corner. I absolutely think he has.
My dream team says he has.
Yeah.
He's the only thing in my dream team that's gone well, but he says he has.
Oh, and Aaron Hall.
Aaron Hall. He's a king. We'll get to him later. But yeah, this was reasonably close to what I thought would happen. And it's a bit of a shame. I don't have much more to say.
Doggies looking good.
Doggies are looking good.
Let's move on. This is arguably.
This one's going to be a bit of fun for me because you're going to be angry and I'm going to feel in it's a safe space.
Just keep rubbing
you about
it in.
It.
Just salt in the wounds.
Yeah.
Dockers.
I was afraid to go near you with Melbourne because I thought you'd hit me again. But this
I'll
is
wait
a safe
till we
space.
Talk about Jesse, mate. Can I do that now?
No. Wait, it's not even close to relevant now. Fremantle 14, 16,
hey,
100.
He could go to the Dockers next year.
That's
apparently.
True. According to Carl Langdon, he's a shoo-in to go to the Dockers.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Oh, that was a scoop from Talking Footy.
Yeah.
What a crock. Gold Coast Suns, lost to the Gold Coast Suns, 19-12, 126 in a pretty big upset.
Look, I say you take Gold Coast, you analyse them, then I'll analyse the Dockers.
Okay, do you want to go
first? Because you want to talk about Hall.
Oh my god, yes.
Just go.
He's so good. Like, people are actually recognising him as a really good player. It started with the Dream Team people being like, yeah, he's going to be good. He's going to step up.
Yeah.
And now everyone else is coming around. He's quick. He's skillful. He's hard. He's complete package. He's outplayed Gary Ablett over the first two games. The best player in the competition.
Hey, there's
a
very strong chance he has 6 votes at this stage of the year. You could have picked a Brownlow Ruffy, mate.
Oh, I should have said it. Liked him, but not liked him enough for that.
The thing you got to say with him, I think it's highly unlikely he'll be able to handle a tag, but there's probably a fair chance he'll never get one.
Yeah, not with Ablett.
He does have Gary Ablett's.
Because if what Aaron Hall's going to give you if you don't tag him is completely different from what Ablett's going to give you if you don't tag him, and I definitely take Aaron Hall's output if you don't tag him than Ablett's. That, I think, made sense.
That was fairly convoluted.
Yeah, it was.
I think I know what you're trying to say.
We'll play it back and find out. but yeah, I think the Gold Coast put their horror year of last year behind them, which is a really good sign.
Well, that's an early call.
They've won nearly half the games they won last year.
Okay.
Last year was really, really bad. They're healthier than they were by a mile last year, and that's including Jaeger and... Is it Jaeger or Jaeger?
The Jaeger bomb? I don't know.
And Swallow being out. Their depth looks so much better. They're good to watch at the moment. They're quick.
When they're playing well, they are bloody good to watch.
And Jack Martin had a good game, and he's starting to look like he's put it together.
Yeah, well, gee, we heard a bit about him in his first year.
Oh, greatest junior footballer of all time.
Yeah, apparently. I haven't quite seen that yet. But injuries?
Really weirdly,
I
heard him talked about as though he's going to be Gold Coast's second key forward. That was the weirdest thing I heard in football
is
this
that
week.
The second most important forward, or
no,
they
key forward because he took 4 contested marks or something.
He's actually
small.
Tiny. He's not small. He is tiny.
It was weird.
He is short and tiny.
Anyway, on to Freo. Have a go.
Yeah, look, the Dockers. It does worry me. We were talking about this before. I reckon they're
There's probably three things that could be happening with him. Firstly, you have to entertain the possibility that Ross Lyon has been a defensive coach his entire career, and he doesn't know how to instill an attacking game plan.
That'd be weird if it was the case.
I think he is a genius, and I don't like
back
that
him
possibility.
In. Back in our
I am backing him in. I think they will turn it around. I am backing them in. You have to entertain that possibility, though. That's the first possibility. Second one is that it's going to take a little bit of time. He's changed the game plan drastically, and it'll take a bit of time for them to adjust. That's what Nathan Fyfe said during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third possibility is he doesn't have the personnel to execute an attacking game plan.
I think that's the, in my mind, that's the key one, especially with Pennell out.
I
think they don't have enough skill throughout the list. They've got some very skillful players, but I don't think broadly across the list they've got enough of them. I think they've got too many liabilities skill level wise. I think their backline's not quick enough or skillful enough to bring it out with any good effect, and the dog shows them up in that way.
Yes.
Anyway, I think the centre square stuff, they'll figure out. Gold Coast kicked 6 goals from centre clearances. I don't think that'll happen too often.
Yeah.
They'll figure that out. But the rest of it is a real worry.
Yeah, the backline stuff you said does concern me. In terms of their mid, they've still got a lot of X-factor players.
That's true.
Daniel Pearce, Stephen Hill are very, very, very important players for what they do for that team. And then up forward,
Hill hasn't quite hit. Yeah. Walters is a jet.
Yeah.
Hill hasn't quite hit the levels I thought he would.
No, but he's still very important. He still provides them with a very important part of their game.
He's no Aaron Hall.
Fair enough.
The next one, unless you have anything more to say.
Probably do, but let's move on. I'm backing him to turn it around.
Let's cheer you up. Let's talk about Stevie J. GWS 13-11-89 defeat Geelong 11-10-76 in a massive upset again.
This has to be the strangest result of the week, doesn't it?
This is my favourite result. Second favourite.
The only certain thing which we thought we deciphered from the first week was that Geelong actually were the big deal and they actually were going to turn things around. We thought we'd gauge that.
It was back to the old Geelong. They got smashed in the contested ball, and they just got beaten up by a side that's younger than them.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign. Dangerfield was shoved out of the contest. He had 13 touches in the first quarter and didn't have another look until the last minute when he ran out of a pack and travelled.
Yeah.
Like, ran too far and cost them the game.
You got to say with Dangerfield, I'd say he's in the top three players in the competition for sure.
Absolutely.
The guys around that mark, he's different to them. He's not as consistent as them. He's one of those players who can win you a game in a quarter. Yeah. And he's fairly consistent, but he's not. You can't back him to do it every single week.
I think his best games are probably that little bit at a different level than others, and that's what puts him in that category.
Yeah,
not his consistency.
That's well said. Well done, Roy.
Thanks, Scott.
Impressed with you.
I normally get a pat on the back from you, so I'm chuffed. I kind of lost my spot.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Stevie J. He was a cracker.
He was
good fun.
He is great fun, isn't he?
He
always has been.
Had a little bit of a smirk about him. Stuck to his guns, didn't pass off. It was good to see.
Yeah.
Didn't quite take the 13 shots at goal or whatever he played when he last played for Geelong, which is what I wanted to see. But he had a cracker.
Good on him. Very good on him.
Mummy was good, though.
That hit.
That's going to be the highlight package for the rest of the year.
All right, that for a while.
He flattened the bitch Duncan.
If you want to prove that footy's a hard game, show that.
He literally pancaked him. He hit him and then lay on top of him.
Yep, great wall of mummy, as they're calling him.
But I think Geelong were a little bit exposed. I think when the game's not on their terms, they're going to struggle.
It's just very up and down opinions. Say they're exposed now. They're so good now.
I'm not saying they're not going to be good. I'm saying the flaws they had were exposed in this game, which is why they lost.
Yeah, okay.
Their backline is slow as treacle. They've got no speed back there. Murdoch, was it Murdoch that hurt himself? No, Thurlow hurt himself. Murdoch isn't playing back there. They don't have... Their backline's based around the key backs, and they're small. Like, Jed Buse isn't playing, who was a lockdown small defender. They're not moving it out well. They're hacking it out.
They have smart players in the back line, though. Like, guys like Enright and Taylor, they can set up play. They're smart.
That's true.
They're not
going to
do it in the fast way.
No, but to do that, they need the game to be played on a more even term than losing the contest like they did.
Yeah, well, that's the issue.
Like, some teams can withstand losing the contested ball a bit better. I don't think Geelong are one of those teams.
I don't think anyone can really handle losing the contested ball. I think that's the issue far more than the back line.
Yeah, okay. I think a big part of the reason that that's a contested ball was Zach Smith didn't play anywhere near as well as he played the week before. Neither did Stanley.
No.
There's a difference between going up against Big Boy McAvoy and the Great Wall of Mummy.
Comes back to the Ruckman, doesn't it?
It always comes back to the Ruckman.
That's always the major thing to take out of every game.
Yeah.
How the Ruckman go. But look, it's just a weird game of footy. And it just sums up what I said at the start, that we just can't really decipher much yet.
No.
I mean, GWS lost to Melbourne.
Who are terrible.
Lost to Essendon.
Would you say Melbourne are the worst team in the league?
We're the biggest joke in the league. We're not the worst team in the league.
That's true.
And then, yeah, Geelong beat Hawthorn. Who knows what is going on?
How does it make you feel? Scully might actually be good.
No, I've moved on.
Another of Scott's sounds.
I've moved on, mate.
He's averaging like 29 on the year. I'm excited. He looks good.
I was upset for a couple of years, but I've moved on.
Yeah. Now the game everyone was excited for.
Oh, this was another good one from Fotheringham.
This was well picked.
This was very well picked.
Champions do bounce back, and Hawthorn did it to the tune of 14-15-99, defeating West Coast 7-11-53.
And that flatters West Coast.
Oh, yeah. They shouldn't have been in it.
Straight of England.
They were in it till what, about halfway through the third quarter?
Yeah, which was weird.
Which they should have been out of it 10 minutes into the first.
Yes, exactly.
They were shocking.
It was nothing changed at any stage throughout the game. They got thumped from start to finish.
Jared Wellingham's not that big a deal. This really makes me worry about West Coast premiership credentials. Flat track bullies.
Yeah, they are. They are. We've been saying that for a while.
It's all
yeah, well,
says.
Yeah. And we discussed last week the importance of grounds.
Mm.
I believe that's all psychological. You believe that there is difference with the dimensions.
I think with West Coast, it's
West
very
Coast
obvious why.
The
they do it.
The web can't handle it.
Yeah.
The Weagles web.
The Weagles web let them down.
Would you say that Hawthorn's Weagles web was superior to West Coast Weagles web?
Yeah, only because I don't have a better alliteration for what Hawthorn did. Josh Gibson was immense.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Nothing needs to be
said.
This
is one of the best games I've ever seen.
I did hear one thing trying to claim that his game was better than Dangerfield's the previous week. I can't accept that. But,
no, they're too different to really compare in that way. But Dangerfield pretty much won the game off his own boot. Gibson got a kick to him a lot.
Yeah, I say the difference between those two sorts of games. They're both very important. You need to have both of them.
Both of them were match-winning.
Yes, absolutely. But the difference between them, I say, is Dangerfield, or an inside midfielder, has to get their own ball and use their own ball.
Yeah, he won it at
where
the coalface.
A lot of the time, Gibson gets given the ball, and then he uses it very well, and that's very important. Mm. But there is a difference between the two.
Still
but you
so
have to say,
left.
Like, Gibson still won quite a few in the contest, intercept marks and stuff. He's a smart player, reads the play very well, and sets him up. Outstanding game.
No, I'm still so dirty you left. Is
How long ago was that? I even forgot.
Like 10 years.
It was him that fell down the shower, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was hilarious.
The shower.
Is Sam Mitchell ever going to stop?
Well, no. Sam Mitchell has been a great player for
that
a very
huge
very
ass of his just keeps going.
He does have a very big ass.
He just sticks out. It's weird.
Yeah.
Most people's spine tends to go straight up. He's just got like a bend in it because his ass sticks out so far.
Okay, you've analysed it a bit closer than I have, but I can't deny it.
I probably should have given you some notes that I was going on that tangent.
I have noticed that he does have quite a large ass.
But yeah, the fact that West Coast couldn't beat that Hawthorn side when they'd lost, the amount of kids they were playing.
It's not they didn't beat them, they got thumped.
Yeah.
There has to be something psychological there.
I think it's psychological, and I also think it shows how important the contest is, because they got smashed there, and West Coast just had no answer. They had no idea what they were doing going forward when they had the ball, which was weird. They scored 160 points the week before.
Yeah, flat track bullies, eh?
It's just
once
bizarre.
Again, coming back to the Ruckman, Nat Nui won a lot of taps straight down the throat of Hawthorn every time. Communication, I suppose, that is, between him and his on bowlers, I don't know.
Nick Nat's marking worries came back to the fore, though. He's got hard hands.
Not come back.
he took six marks the week before.
He doesn't take uncontested marks. He doesn't get uncontested possessions.
No. But yeah, just the ball hits the hands and bounces straight back out. It's very impressive.
It's a shame, because he could be a very, very good marker of
footy.
He could be the
that he's got.
He should be.
If he can add that to his game, cool.
Yeah. Anyway, that's about it. Bad luck, West Coast. I really doubt you now. Carlson.
He's flipping a lot, this bloke.
I am.
He's changing his mind very quickly.
I'm
sticking with the Dockers.
I'm a man of the hour, Scott.
And I'm not giving up on Port. I'm worried. I have worries about Port.
I live in the moment.
Yeah, well, you need to be a man of your convictions. I'm disappointed.
No. What convictions did I have about West Coast? I doubted them at the start of the year. I just thought they should win because they had a healthier list and I didn't think
they
would.
Mate, you tipped them. You thought they'd win easily. You said to me, if they don't smash Hawthorn, you tipped them to smash them.
Yeah, I said, if they don't smash Hawthorn, I really doubt they're...
Yeah, spin it any way you want, Rory. You were wrong.
I predicted my backflip if they'd lose. I'm a man of my convictions.
Whatever, mate. Well, you're certainly not in terms of Sydney and Collingwood.
Nah, Sydney looking good. I'd be dumb to not like Sydney at the moment. Carlton, 10-11-71. Smashed by Sydney. 20-11.
Time to puff out my chest once again. I'm liking the Swannies, mate.
I like that the round gave you something to be happy about.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You really needed it.
Yeah.
You needed
it. I thought there was a chance for a second there North to lose, and it made me feel a little bit better that, yeah, this was the game.
This was the game. this was the game that made your weekend.
Yeah. just because I was right.
God, you live a sad life. You're right about Sydney beating Carlton.
No, well, I was right about how good Sydney are going to be.
How can you tell anything? They played Carlton.
You told me before that you're tipping them to finish top two now.
Yeah, and I'm only doing this to annoy you, but
yes, exactly.
My point still stands.
I said they'd finish second, and they are looking like
top two team right now. Nah, dogs. Yeah, the Swans just... I thought of their kids played at a more normal level. Because they played out of their body.
Did all right again. I love that little guy.
Yeah, what, he kicked three?
He's a very energetic little fella. I like
him. He is, but the rest of them. Callum Mills hasn't played. He's lived up to his nap form.
He looks good, though.
He looks good, but I don't know. He's just a bit of a step up between now.
Yeah, give him some time.
He'll get there. Hewitt just played like a normal player instead of a good player.
Yeah.
But, I just think Carlton don't have any weapons, so they were never going to hurt Sydney.
The leading five Sydney players are exactly who you thought they'd be. It was Kennedy, Jack, Hannibal, Tom Mitchell, Parker. There you go, and Buddy, yeah.
although Sinclair and Tibbet really look good. Both, they kicked seven goals between them.
Yeah, well, yeah, we...
I really doubt
it. We skipped talking about Kurt Tibbet in the ruck last week, didn't we? I rate him in the ruck. Did he ruck?
No, you mentioned it, but yeah.
I don't think we did on the podcast. I think we mentioned it separately.
Interesting. We should probably.
Did he play in the ruck again this week?
He did. He kicked four goals.
Yeah, well, exactly. I like him in the. Like, he's never going to be a dominant tap ruckman, but he's got a big leap. He's got big arms. He'll be
really, really mobile.
Unbelievable around the ground. And when he goes forward, he looks so much more comfortable because no longer are people have plans for him. He can go forward and then he can use his long arms and his.
Reach over the
quick
top.
And
he's not getting bodied as much. He doesn't need to burst away to get the separation.
Yeah.
He's just got it naturally from running and burning the ball
back,
from distance.
I really support Kurt Tibbet in the ruck. I think that's a really smart move.
I agree, Scott.
Good.
I agree.
Good. Great.
Let's get to the mailbag.
Oh, Pushy's mailbag again. What has he asked us this time?
He didn't ask anything. He was a bit distraught after the Richmond loss.
Yeah, he would have been.
He said, I haven't been following football. I don't want to think about it after Sprouting.
I got to say, I have no sympathy for Richmond supporters anymore. No one has gone through anywhere near what we have. But anyway.
I love it when Richmond lose. It's great.
So what have we got in the mailbag?
This one, all the way from Brisbane, but a different listener to Pooch. Cat Trio. Yes.
Another one of our mates.
Another one. Shh. We had a listener in the USA, and I don't know who that is.
No.
SoundCloud told me.
USA?
Yeah, it was weird. In, like, Virginia. I was excited.
Yeah, all right.
Shout out to Virginia.
Yep. can Freo rebuild via free agency? I think it's a bit disingenuous to say they need to rebuild, but can they address their weaknesses?
Yeah, well, it's a fair question. I mean, they've got through a lot of very, very good players in the midfield, and young players, you can't forget that. Their issue is that, well, McFarlane's gone, and then their older players, Pavlich is certainly over the hill. Sanderlands
is
still
a shadow of his former self.
Yeah, Sanderlands is still nowhere near as good as he used to be.
No.
But yeah, look, they're not going to get Hogan, but
Carl Langdon. No. Scott.
No.
Although I don't think I actually wrote down when I said you would be able to bag them, so
I'm getting there. But yeah, there's talk about them getting Hooker, talk about, yeah, Hogan, of course, McCarthy, all that. If they can build up that spine, they have a very, very good-looking list.
Oh, yeah.
They do.
Your issue is
ball users,
which
I don't see as big an issue as you.
I think they need to improve their half-back flankers, but you can do that reasonably easy in the draft, I think. It's not... You can get guys that will impact reasonably quickly.
That's
off the halfback front.
Yeah, that's true.
Kids can play there and do okay.
Okay. So trade for more free agency.
Well, they're going to get
key position
from
and then
everything I've heard. As in, I've listened to Damo,
yes.
So they're going to get Hooker.
He's never wrong. I know. One occasion, which was
like he picks 10 people for the Essendon job. One of them was Worsfold. Damo's right.
Yeah, he was right.
No one can say he didn't pick it. But yeah, so I think they will get Hooker because it makes no sense for Essendon to keep him. He's not on their timeline at all, and they'll get a number two draft pick out of it. Or maybe not, given the way they played on the weekend. Sucked in, Scott. But, yeah, and they're going to need to find a replacement for Sandy reasonably soon.
Yeah, but the important thing with Freo, they do have a very good young core group, and I think you can build around that with free agency. But their issue at the moment isn't to do with personnel. Their issue is to do with
Justin. They don't have that many young players.
Well, Fife's young enough.
Neil.
Mundy's very good.
28 or 29. Barlow's older than you think because he was a mature age.
Yeah, no, that's... Yeah.
I was just thinking about it.
Hill, young.
Yeah, prime, more than young.
Well, young enough.
Yeah.
He's still got 5 years of very good footy in him.
Yeah, that's true.
Walters isn't old.
Yeah, fair enough.
Old.
I wouldn't exactly say all of those players are their core, though. I think their core is a mix. I think they've got a little bit of the North Melbourne problem. They've got some players that are in the prime and a lot that are also old.
I think it'll be very interesting. They have enough players you've got.
But I think their biggest deficiency can be addressed through free agency if they get Hooker.
Yeah, absolutely. Give Freo hope, mate. I always give Freo hope.
Any chance to get Zach Dawson out of the team, take it.
He does his job.
Just pile on Zach for me. this is another one, all the way from Gippsland. Will I ever stop referring to the pod as the whatever number ever podcast? The answer to that is no.
Who lives in Gippsland? Was this Alex?
Yes.
Churchill, but yeah.
Isn't it the Gippsland campus?
Yeah, he's living in Churchill. It doesn't matter.
I don't think the aim of the mailbag is to figure out who's asking his questions, Scott.
Well, I'm just trying to make a point that we're still seeing questions from all of
our mates. A very forensic analysis of the question asking people. That made no sense. Instead of actually looking at the questions. The answer to that one's a flat-out no, though. Perpetually.
Okay.
We get to the 100th episode. I'm calling it the 100th episode.
Okay, good. No issues with that. We won't get to 100 episodes, but...
Yes, we will, Scott. this one's a more serious question. Will Tom Mitchell be a first choice player for the rest of the year, and how highly do you rate him? I think the first part's yes.
Absolutely and highly. Why did this question pop up? He's been killing it.
I asked him for a question, and this is what he came up with.
I would have thought he'd think of better questions than this. I think this is a very obvious answer.
I do too, but I don't know. I wanted something to talk about.
The knock on him is he's not a great user of it, but.
I think he's a...
contribute in other ways?
Yeah, he's a big bullocking boy. He puts in a lot of hard work at the contest.
Just finds the footy.
Bucket load of tackles.
Yes.
And, yeah, he's not going to be the cream on top, but he can be a large part of the cake.
Yeah, it was weird how long they kept him out for. But
yeah, I assume he annoyed Horse or something like that.
Not adhering to the game plan or
I assume
whatever.
So, a bit of the lead by Greenwoods.
Okay, North Melbourne reference.
Scott.
Once again.
I don't like... This should be a safe space for me. I don't like being insulted for liking North Melbourne. I think it's very reasonable to like North Melbourne.
It just comes up every 2 minutes. But
I think I've mentioned them... I don't know how many times.
Yeah, well, you have less reason to mention them right now than I have reason to mention Melbourne.
Yeah, exactly. You're more Melbourne-centric today than I am North.
Speaking of Melbourne, is it Jesse time?
It is Jesse time.
Oh, is it actually Jesse time?
It's actually Jesse time.
All right.
Have a go.
Jesse Hogan, this message is directed at you.
Like he's gonna listen.
If the Melbourne Football Club expect to move forward into the future relying on you, they are in a lot of trouble with the way you're going at the moment. Your attitude, your body language, it's nothing short of pathetic at the moment and is an impediment to the Melbourne Football Club. Now, for a year we put up with it. For a year we accepted it because you were kicking goals and with your presence there, it seemed to make us a better team. However, the last 2 weeks it has gone to a level that is just unacceptable. On the weekend, apart from kicking a goal in the last quarter, the only thing that you contributed was you spent 2 hours whinging, moaning and sooking, and it is not good enough.
Would you say now, we could call him...
Hey, let me finish. Now, I know what your counter-argument would be. Your argument would be that you still seem to play well individually, regardless of whether you moan, which you do a lot of the time. But for once, Jesse, this isn't about you. I know throughout your entire junior career, you grew up with everyone telling you that it's all about Hogan, you're the man, you're the hope. And I know we did that all last year as well. But on this occasion, it's not about you. It's about the rest of your team and the impact that you have on them. When you do not have a good game, you don't whinge and moan. You shepherd, you block, you try to get the rest of your team into it. Right now, your attitude is not good enough. You are going to be a great, great player, but you are currently a terrible leader. And if you can't sort that out and you can't sort your attitude out, I think you do need to spend a few weeks down at, in the seconds being the second forward so you can learn that even down there, it doesn't always have to be about you. Because right now, that is your attitude and it is not good enough.
Well done, Scott. Brought the fire and brimstone, like I expected.
I love him, and he's going to be a good player, but he's a terrible leader right now.
I tried to cut in with the joke, but you shut me down. It was a serious moment in the pod.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
It's not about me, it's about Jesse.
The last thing I want to say about him is he's naturally someone that has charisma, he has presence, he has leadership, and the rest of the team look to him, and you look up the ground, there's someone you're bombing Hail Marys into, and you're expecting him to be the man, and he's standing there moping with his head down. It just sucks the life out of everyone. It sucks the life out of the club, out of the supporters, out of the players. It's not good enough.
Could you call him Mopey Mopeson?
No, because that's really, really... No, you can't. That's just lame. But pick up your game, Jess. He'll listen.
We'll get it to Viney.
No, but yeah.
No, he deleted me on Facebook. Can't find him anymore.
No.
Okay, let's go to the tips.
Okay, I didn't know if it was done.
No, we're not done. Never done. We're getting to 100 episodes, Scott. Port Adelaide, Essendon, Friday night. Fairly bread and butter, you would have thought.
Yeah, a bit of a gold jacket, green jacket, isn't it? No one really cares.
You realise you already made that joke,
yes.
And it wasn't funny the first time.
We're going to keep repeating it.
Please don't.
It'll come up whenever there's a game I don't care about.
Oh, God.
Alrighty.
surely Essendon can't.
Surely.
Port can't do a Melbourne.
Essendon aren't as bad as I thought, but... Melbourne turned up not caring. Port Adelaide, surely.
Yeah.
Over there, surely.
Coming off the back of last week, you'd think they'd be fired up.
Yeah.
They should win.
It'll be 10 goals minimum. Sure.
Big call from Scotty.
They'll be fired up. They'll have the crowd behind them.
Fair enough. St Kilda Collingwood, Saturday.
St Kilda, this actually is... you'd think Collingwood.
Collingwood, reasonably comfortably.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, can't they? They're playing pretty poorly at the moment.
That's true, but so is St Kilda.
No, they were pretty good round one.
Yeah, against
they
Port.
Were against Port Adelaide, yes, I know, but they did play
like
well.
Playing
I saw a fair bit of that game, and they actually did play well. They were terrible last week. But
no, yeah.
Collingwood have been every bit as poor. Collingwood just.
Oh, I think 4 goals, Collingwood.
Oh, well, that's not... You made me think you were going to say something. I say Collingwood by 10 points.
I said comfortably, Scott.
Oh, 4 goals. Yeah, comfortably implies 6.
Okay, 6. I think they won by 6.
10 points.
Richmond Adelaide. This is an interesting game.
Definitely an interesting game.
Big game for Richmond. Need to perform.
Delidio won't be back. Marich could be.
Yeah, I think from what I've heard he will be.
Okay, well...
Although he was in the rehab group this morning at training. Ooh, look at that for inside information.
In
insider. It doesn't matter.
I saw it on the news.
Yes, all right. But, it's a tough tip, actually. The thing with Maric is they still won the ruck last week pretty comfortably, Richmond.
Mm.
And Maric isn't the sort of player that's going to come in and win it even more comfortably. As you said, he plays for a draw.
Exactly.
He rucks for a draw. So, can he make that much difference? I think you have to go with Adelaide.
Yeah, I think Adelaide, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do it reasonably comfortably. Does that work for four goals? Reasonably comfortably?
I'll give you that.
Reasonably comfortably, I think Adelaide will win by. I think, with the injuries that Richmond have and the way they've been playing, Adelaide should do it reasonably comfortably. I think Adelaide are actually a good side. They lost to a very good team in North Melbourne. And then Pans put Adelaide, so that's my logic. I think they'll do it reasonably comfortably.
We'll go Adelaide by 15.
9 points of difference. Mm. It's going to be a huge...
Not as many differences.
Not as controversial as last week. Sydney, GWS.
Oh, my boy.
Battle of the Bridge.
That has to be one of the worst teams.
The best thing about it is they're both on the same side of the Harbour Bridge.
Anyway, Sydney.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, GWS last week.
It's at
Sydney.
The SCG. I think that's pretty decisive.
Yeah, Sydney by four goals.
Sydney are a legitimately very good side. GWS can be a good side on their day, but aren't always, as the two rounds have shown. So I think Sydney is a safer bet, and I think they'll win.
Yeah, Sydney by five goals.
Oh, where's that on the scale of comfortableness?
It's in between reasonably comfortable and comfortable, apparently.
We've got to find a word that fits that gap. Okay, on to the night games. Gold Coast, Carlton, up at Metricon.
Yeah, Gold Coast.
Yeah, I can't see this one being particularly close. A lot of teams struggle when they go up into the dewy, hot, sticky conditions up in Queensland.
Quite like Metricon.
Have you been?
Just the look of it. It looks like something that could be a fortress, I reckon.
Okay. I think, as we talked about home ground advantage last week, I think the Queensland teams have a home ground advantage with the dewiness of the ball and how wet it gets up there.
I can accept climate, yeah.
I think they'll win comfortably.
Now,
more than comfortably, actually.
Ooh.
I think it'll be more than six goals.
How many goals? Points.
Nine goals. 54 points.
I'll go seven goals. We're pretty close to each other.
This hasn't been a very disagreeable podcast.
No, it wasn't as fun as last week.
No, it wasn't. Although you've been miserable, so that's been fun for me. West Coast.
Why do I even care? I hate footy.
We all know that's a lie.
Anyway.
West Coast, Frio.
Oh, jeez, I hope the Dockers do something here. Make a game of it. It's the derby. It's a big one.
I hope the Dockers
win.
I
bloody hope the Dockers win.
Because if they don't, they're playing North the next week, and I'm going to be scared. That word I don't want to say on the pod, because kids might listen.
He's a little bit concerned about the next game, but...
I'm not even remotely concerned about Melbourne.
I know he's a little bit worried.
El Plebico.
They just finished West Coast.
Okay.
Look, you can't not tip West Coast, I think. You'd be very bold.
An 0-2.
I really hope they make a game of it, but let's say West Coast by five goals.
Both teams have a case for will they bounce back, though. Although neither team should need it for a derby. I don't know. I think West Coast play better at Subiaco or Domain than Frio do. Like, the gap of how they play home and away is bigger for West Coast. I think they're more likely to be better than last week.
I don't see the logic behind that, but...
whatever.
Do you have any? No, he doesn't. He's just...
I think Frio travel better, and there's a lesser gap between their home and away.
I think Frio is still pretty bloody good over there.
They are bloody good over there, but I think West Coast tend to be destructive over there.
Yes, okay. Against shit teams.
I'm going to say I won that argument.
On flat tracks against bad teams. They're both bloody good.
But yeah, you can't not...
And it's just because they have a more aggressive game plan, so they're able to win by 10 goals easier. When Frio win by, six goals, and that's a thumping for them.
Whatever, Scott.
They're both great over there, and I hope Freo make a game.
On to the biggest game of the round, El Plebico.
Yeah, I don't know
what
that
is. The first ever some Mexican soccer derby. It's called El something or other. So,
we're the plebs. Okay.
You mean the Spanish El Clasico between Real Madrid and Barcelona?
That's probably.
I thought you knew soccer, mate.
Nah, who cares? This is the real sport.
He's a little bit worried. I've seen it around the house.
I'm worried in the same way I was worried about Brisbane.
Mate, I'm look.
Actually, no, I'm less worried. We were in Brisbane. Now we're in Tassie. We play well in Tassie. You're terrible.
We seem to come out hard once we get flogged in the media. We've done that in the past.
If you were,
the problem is it happens every second week.
If you were good at coming out after a flogging, you'd be halfway up the ladder instead of bottom every year.
That wouldn't even make any sense, but anyway. before last week, I would have said we're a 0% chance. The fact that we'll be fired up gives me a 1% hope.
So losing to Essendon makes you think you're more likely
yes.
to win this week?
Yes, because North have been out bogey side for a long time.
Talk about me having flawed logic.
No, when you go into like a normal game against North Melbourne, they're a bogey side and we lose by 10 goals every time.
Because you're terrible.
The fact this is no longer a normal game, there will be a lot of pressure on the Melbourne Football Club and they'll have to come out very, very hard. You'll still beat us.
By 10 goals.
No.
No, you're right. We'll beat you comfortably.
5 goals. Yeah, 5 goals.
Well, we'll find a word, listeners. We'll find a word. Another game with the case for biggest game of the round.
Yeah.
Like an actual case, not...
You'd say it's most interesting, whether it's going to be the best or not. I don't know. But
yeah, fair enough.
Can the Doggies do it?
I think they can. I don't think they will.
Yeah.
I think they'll lose reasonably closely.
Yeah, well,
I don't have a number value for that one.
This is an issue. I actually find this really hard to tip. I'd have to tip Hawthorn just because you'd be crazy to go against them. But I think all three scenarios could happen. I think there could be a thumping.
Either way.
I'd say there could be a thumping by Hawthorn. There could be a comfortable win by the Bulldogs. It could also be an absolute classic. Who knows?
God, I hope it's a classic.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be excited between these two teams.
Oh, yeah.
Tactically.
Real showdown. But not the showdown.
It's a shootout.
Oh, even better.
Wouldn't that be the word?
That's
anyway,
it.
You gotta go with Hawthorn.
At Etihad. We all know the home ground advantage matters so much. So.
Bit of psychology there, I suppose.
Not really. Hawthorn win everywhere.
It's okay, but it just doesn't matter. I was just making my point from last week.
But yeah, I'm going Hawthorn.
Yeah, you can't not. You can't not.
Yeah. Geelong, Brisbane, at Skilled.
Yeah, surely. The Cats will bounce back, surely.
Is it still Skilled Stadium?
I think so.
Okay. that was nods from the producer.
Or is it? No, Simmons.
It is Simmons.
Simmons.
See, it's not Skilled Stadium. Who would say that? yeah, I think they'll win quite comfortably.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah.
Seven goals, quite comfortably.
10 goals.
10 goals. They're coming off a stinging loss. They'll be fired up, you'd think.
Yeah.
They're playing a... Oh, no, it will be real. It'll be huge. Brisbane have lost maybe Rich and Rockcliffe as well. Mm. And they're not getting anyone back.
Looking towards 10 goals now, aren't
they? Yeah. I'll find a word for that. I'm going to start a dictionary of how much I think each word means in terms of goals.
Each goal and what.
Yeah.
What corresponding.
I'll put it up on the Facebook page. Oh, yeah, I'm going to plug that later.
Just plug it now. We're done.
Okay. Yeah, we are. We now have a Facebook page, listeners. You've probably found that before you found the podcast, to be honest, because I'm going to spam the Facebook page everywhere.
You only invited like 20 of our closest friends, but anyway.
You think that's stage one of viral marketing. So when I invite everyone, they're like, oh, there's already likes here. It might be good.
Oh, mate, you are overthinking things for sure.
I just bullshitted that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's already likes here. The whole 12 of them.
Oh, we're up to like 16 now, Scott.
Oh, all right.
And
all right,
that's
I'll take
not
it back.
That's not including you, because you're a dick who won't like it.
Calm down, mate.
Like the damn page, Scott.
Nah.
Interchange cap.
Jesse Hogan.
Yeah, as always, thanks for listening. North will win. That's the big takeaway of the pod.
Yeah, and I hate footy. There you go.
Oh, you can find me and not Scott on Twitter. I'm at plebroryafl. I only have 160 followers, so I'd really appreciate anyone following me. but yeah, that's about it. Go North.
Hate footy.
You're such a sore loser.